Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So there's a couple low points in my life. My dog passing away and them getting a grand slam. The grand slam took the cake.
Courtney O'Neill was not a fan of that outcome.
I feel like I might either check in the AA therapy or an institute of some sort.
It goes on from there. Philadelphia, man and woman on street interviews. At the end of it, it's these two men were forced to walk home in overalls with nothing but Phillies logos on them. Like, huh? All right, yeah, that's how it goes. Paul Hamilton joining us as we prepare for the Sabres home opener. Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Paul, you're the same way. Philly sports tears, I feel like, are maybe the best to listen to of any city.
They're what?
The tears.
The tears of the Philly sports fans.
For me, it's not. Yeah, that might be right, because for me, it's Boston, but Boston doesn't cry a lot. They just complain.
That's because, and also because they win all the time.
Yeah, Philly,
or at least did for a
Boston,
while.
Boston, Dallas. Who else you want here? Dallas?
Like the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, when Cowboys fans lose. Who do you like to see lose? Paul, who do you like to see lose? Red Sox, right?
Yeah, Red Sox. That would be correct. Yeah, I'm not a real fan.
Well,
I don't mind when the Mets lose.
That's just mean.
Where we pick, yeah, like it's just I feel mean. Like if I were rooting against the Mets, I'd be like, pick on someone your own size, you know. I don't know.
Well, we could see a Subway Series. It's still very much alive. All right, Paul. Home opener tonight for the Sabres. The league's underway. Last night, Montreal stole one from Toronto. The Penguins got smoked. Edmonton got smoked as well. Olofsson scored a pair for Vegas. You know, here we are. We're into another hockey season. And a home opener for the Sabres where, you know, Paul, I'm not going to say must win. But I think the fans could really use a nice performance out of this team after a pair of games in Prague that maybe not a lot of them saw, or maybe they did. But it'll be whatever. I'm very interested to see if this team can bring some energy into their building for a home opener crowd.
Absolutely. I mean, especially after what happened to them in the first two games. There's no question we need to see some energy. And, yeah, you know, and you just mentioned it. Goals are being scored around the league early here, except goals weren't being scored by the Buffalo Sabres in their first two games. You know, you talked about Victor Olofsson scoring. Well, look at the first goal he scored. It's because one of the Knights was sitting in the lap of the goaltender. I mean, the goaltender never saw it. He shot from the wall, basically. And Georgiev never even saw it because there was a guy sitting right in his lap. I mean, so that's what you have to do. And You have to have people around the net if you want to score goals, and the Sabres proved it when they finally did score a goal in the second game. They had three people going hard to the net. They were relentless and just never stopped digging for the puck, and they finally got it by Allen. They kind of pushed it by him. So, you know, that's the way you got to score goals, and I saw a lot of goals scored that way in games last night. So, Buffalo has two goals in two games. So, you know, that's something that needs to be fixed rather quickly, too, because that's not going to get it done.
And this has been a team, Paul, where it's been – how long has it been? 2 years? Like, when did the record at home starting to look poor? Like, when did that start? Was it maybe the year they missed by one? Because even that season, they struggled on home ice a lot, even when they had fuller crowds than they've had in a long time.
Yeah, it's – I'm trying to think when they did have a – decent record at home. Mm-hmm. They for a while now have been a better team than on the road than they've been at home. And I don't know if they get uptight when they get home, and then, you know, it just has gotten worse and worse where, you know, all of a sudden one or two mistakes winds up in their net, and next thing you know, the fans are on them, and you know how all that went. So they tend to get uptight at home, so that's something they could, you know, we always say this, and it's so easy to say, but they could really use a good start. I mean, you know, go out and instead of being behind 2-0 at the end of the first period, go get a couple of goals, and not you can exhale then, and you know, now you've got the people behind you, and you can exhale a little bit, and you can maybe play with the lead instead of, well, it's third period, we're down 4-0, see what happens. Well, you know what, we had a really good third period. You know, we had a lot of that because, well, 4-0 turned into 4-2, but, you know, it's you did get down four goals before you kind of kicked it into gear. So they really, really, really could use a good start just to give them a little bit of confidence to move forward in being at home.
Paul, forgive me for not knowing this off the top of my head, but NHL concussion protocol, has it changed in the last year, 2 years? Have they quietly kind of changed that? Because go ahead.
Yeah, I think they quietly have kind of changed
because
that.
I
mean, it used to be, you know, seven days
symptom-free, right? And for Paterka, right. I thought, how could he possibly play this soon? But I guess they've whatever you want to say the reason they did it. But if he's potentially going to play, that means that's not 7 days symptom-free.
Yeah, it's kind of gone from this is policy to suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
These are suggestions. They aren't, you know, in stone or anything like that. So I think that's basically what's happened in the NHL, that it's like, all right, this is what we'd like to see, but, you know, if your medical team, you know, clears somebody and somebody feels well, they can play.
Paul, the starts of games, this was a theme last year that we saw in Prague a little bit. I was looking at some of the potential bets for tonight, and one that I was looking at was no goals scored or a goal scored in the first 5 minutes of the game. And I was trying to figure out, like, how Lindy might approach, you know, getting off to a good start. Is it more the come out, play free, you know, go for the goal early on? I was wondering if they might play more protective, you know, because they, especially home, you're not going to want the fans on your back, I don't think. You don't want to get booed off the ice at the end of the first period, which, like you said, if you're down 2-0, I think that's probably inevitable. So maybe they'll play more protective. I don't know. Do you have a thought on how what style of play they'll start employing at the beginnings of these games to correct something that's been bad for them for a while here?
Well, you've heard Lindy talk that you know, he has switched the way they play defensively, and he said that's non-negotiable. So you know, it's something that they'll have in their mind too. Now, we talked a little bit about the Kings yesterday, and he said, you know, remember the Kings used to be sitting there and just waiting for you to make a mistake, and it was really boring hockey. I remember the Kings were in here a couple years ago, and it was 0-0 at the end of two periods, very, very low chance game, but the Sabres didn't get excited about it. I mean, they kind of, all right, if we're going to play this way, let's play this way, and then the Sabres scored a goal maybe a minute into the third period, and then they scored another one real quick, and next thing you know, they had five. Because now the Kings had to come out of it. And the Sabres really, you know, once that happened, the Sabres really took over the game. But Lindy Ruff said they really don't play that way anymore. You know, they don't just sit back and wait for you to make a mistake and, you know, try to turn it into a snooze fest. He goes, they've changed the way they play a little bit. He goes, they did that in the beginning of last year, and then he goes, maybe midway through the season they switched it. So at least, you know, there's a good chance that maybe we're not going to see the snooze fest that the Kings used to like to get you in.
Yeah, have they thinking about the Kings as a matchup here, they have historically never really been the fun, exciting team up and down the ice since, what, the 90s? Like, in the even when they were winning Stanley Cups, Paul, like, it was built around, we've got an elite defensive center in Kopitar, who is still there, by the way, and then Jonathan Quick had two of the best playoff runs ever. So, I don't know. Like, the Kings have kind of always been that defensive style team, but I guess you're saying they might be a little different this time.
Yeah, you're right. But they now, you know, Kopitar will get point. Kempe is a very good goal scorer. I mean, he's has an elite shot, and, you know, he's somebody that can, even when they played that style, he would still come through and get points. Dubois not there anymore. It's funny how he keeps wearing out his welcome. You know, he's a good hockey player. But he keeps wearing out his welcome. Now he's going to give the Washington Capitals a try. But he's not there anymore. Byfield really came, you know, really came to the party last year. It was kind of a breakout year for him, and he just signed a new contract, you know, new long-term deal, which is what you do in the NHL now. You don't do bridge deals anymore. It's like you identify your core, and you better be right, because when you start, you know, given the core 7-year deals or 8-year deals, and the core, all of a sudden you're sitting there going, maybe this isn't our core. It's like, well, guess what? You better figure it out, because you just signed 5 guys to long-term deals from that core. And, you know, the Sabres did it, but other teams have done it too. That's the way of the NHL now. Very rarely do you see the bridge contract now going into your big contract.
Paul, in net for the Sabres tonight. You know, this Luukkonen earned it, got a big contract, played well. Levi was the better of the two on the weekend, right, in Prague, would you say? I mean, the reviews of Luukkonen were he was a little bit loose, kind of all over the place, maybe out, not exactly under control. Levi was really strong. Do you have any idea how Lindy plays this next stretch here? I mean, is he going to go with hot hands, or is it Luukkonen first for the most part?
I think it's Luukkonen first. Now, Luukkonen wasn't awful. He wasn't good. I would say it was a okay game. You know, I didn't walk away saying, boy, he was awful. I mean, he got caught out of the net the one time, and maybe got caught out of the net a little more than he did last year. He seemed to get that corrected quite well last year, you know, where he rarely saw it. And he was wandering a little bit in the crease, especially the one goal where it was the Hischier goal where he was to the side and he was way out of the play. He got up and was trying to get back in, kind of got back in the net, but he wasn't set. He wasn't squared up and set, and Hischier just blew it by him. Had he been, you know, set and squared up to the shooter, he probably makes that save. But he was just trying to get back in, and he was kind of back in, but he hadn't squared up yet and wasn't ready. So, I mean, that was the thing. I'm not real concerned about it. I mean, yeah, it's something that he used to do quite a bit, and he got rid of it last year and played really, really well. And as I said, overall, I mean, he made some good saves. I mean, it wasn't a great game for him. It wasn't a bad game for him. It was just a average game for him. And, you know, Levi got caught out in the net once too, but he made some great saves because they hung Levi out a lot more than they did Luukkonen I look back to the if I'm remembering correctly, I believe the Devils only had 12 shots in the last two periods against Luukkonen. The puck management was awful in that second game, and they gave a lot of, you know, breakaways, 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, and, you know, all of a sudden they were in on him, and he made some really good saves. But overall, I think, I think there are going to be more opportunities to use Levi. I mean, in the road trip that's coming up next week, you got a back-to-back Pittsburgh. You got three games in four and a back-to-back, so I would think Levi for sure would get into one of those, probably the Columbus game. So there are going to be opportunities to get him in. But you're right. I think if one of them really gets hot and the other one's playing average, I think the one that's hot is going to be in the net.
Paul, do you think Dahlin's completely healthy? Not to be like an alarmist on this, just I thought it was interesting that he, last year, almost every night, was their leader in time on ice, and a lot of times by multiple minutes. And over the weekend in Prague, Power was ahead of him.
Almost every any time I've asked Dahlin since he's been here, are you playing injured? Or No, I'm fine. I'm good. You know, I'm 100%. It's not an excuse. No, I'm good. You know, and he said that last year, and he wasn't. By, you know, he admitted once the season ended that he was playing with some things, but when I asked him the other day if he, you know, if he's still feeling effects from the injury, the preseason injury, he looked at me, laughed, went, and he goes, "No, I'm feeling good now," you know. But that's also what the last time they played was Saturday, so we're what, 5 days out? I can't count.
Yeah,
6 days out, 5 days out, 6 days.
Yeah, five.
Thursday.
5 days.
Today's Thursday. You know, so you know, it's. He goes, "No, I'm feeling good now." He goes, "I think finally I can practice and work out the way I want to." And it wasn't the typical Dahlin answer. So yes, I absolutely think he has been playing, you know, with that injury. And I think it definitely affected him. I haven't seen him play that poorly in a long, long, long time. And it just got to a point where I think I tweeted out, I go, that injury has to be bothering him. He's got to be playing. You never saw him in the offensive zone until the last half of the second game. Then all of a sudden you saw him up and in the zone and trying to help out offensively. But before that, he wasn't around the offensive zone at all. And so yes, I do think he was not 100%. He said now, though, he's had more time to heal since the last game, and he said now he can work out the way he wants to, he can practice the way he wants to. So we'll see if he'll be better tonight against the Kings.
Paul, tonight's first chance for many fans that will attend to see the Jumbotron. How is it? What's your review?
Beautiful. No, it's. I think they're really going to enjoy it. I like the panels under it, you know, where you can, you know, see it no matter where you are in the arena. So that's pretty cool. You know, you're going to have stats up there. You're going to have clear replays up there. It's. I like it. I think they've done a nice job with it.
Very good. All right, Paul, we'll be listening tonight, and happy hockey season. Welcome to another year.
Yeah, and I was listening to Joe yesterday. He got to try out some of the new food.
We all did.
We both did, yeah.
I was here too, yeah.
I thought you missed it, Jeremy.
No.
I thought you were gone by then.
He took it and left.
Yeah, that's right. I did.
Josh, meanwhile, housed the Dominator burger.
Yeah,
he had the Dominator.
You had the hot chicken sandwich?
I had the hot chicken sandwich.
And?
It is amazing. Just keep in mind, I'm someone that likes a little bit of spice on those, and it definitely has some kick.
Yeah,
so prepare for the kick.
I had some of the burnt end nachos, and they were great.
Yeah, so
Josh actually finished that burger?
He did.
It took him five hours.
An hour and 47 minutes,
Paul.
An
hour and 47.
It was great. It tasted amazing.
Yeah. I saw a picture of that thing. Wow. I can't believe he finished that.
Yeah. I mean, can't either.
What did you do? You have the two swords? You got to keep those.
I do. Yeah, I have them. I'm going to put them on a plaque.
Nice.
And it's going to be a nice little trophy in my room.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Speaking of the Sabres and food, it's time to get to the dog of the day. Hot dog of the day. The Sabres are doing this again. I know the name. I have seen what is on this dog, so I can't guess this.
Okay.
I took
$3.
Yeah, they did bring it in yesterday.
Yeah.
You weren't told what's on it, but you did eat basically a half a hot dog.
I had, yeah.
Maybe
almost
a quarter of a hot dog?
Almost half. It was a foot long, so actually might have been almost the equivalent of a full-size hot dog.
Okay, there you go. So,
okay.
Are you prepared just to use your memory and your palate to tell us what was on? The dog's name is the Easy E.
The Easy
tonight.
E.
Tonight's hot dog of the game is the Easy E.
All right, so I think I've got it pretty close. I think what you got is some sort of pineapple salsa. You have some, I think it's barbecue pulled chicken. And then a sauce that, I'm going to be honest, the sauce kind of got me a little bit. I don't know what it is. Yeah. But it's not like a spicy sauce of any sort. And then you had like the little, what you call them, like little round radish circles on the top.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay.
So I think pineapple salsa, though, I think is kind of the star of the show.
We're going to give you partial credit here.
Okay.
The easy E is al pastor, which is roasted pork and pineapple.
Okay.
A house-made salsa roja.
Okay, so the pineapple was coming from the pork, from not the pork. Not the salsa.
So you got salsa and pineapple.
Okay.
Pickled radish, cilantro. There you go.
Okay.
Not bad.
Oh, I guess there was no sauce on it then. Well, the sauce was the salsa.
The salsa, red salsa.
Okay, right, yeah.
So you did all right.
All right, that's pretty good.
You did.
I'll take that.
You did get pork wrong for chicken.
Yeah.
But you said pulled chicken, didn't you? It was pulled. Yeah. Well, it's pork.
Pulled chicken's pretty similar to pulled. It tastes pretty similar to pulled pork, right?
You know, in the right pineapple and sauces, sure. I think you might be. We'll give it to you. Partial credit.
All right, I'll take it.
You did all right.
By the way, the Jumbotron's not the only thing that's new that fans will get to see for the first time today. The mural.
That's right, the mural.
First time seeing the mural. Any photo or video I've seen, it looks sharp. It looks way better than what they had up there before.
Got a text here from Trevor who says, when the Sabres get good, I get more into them than the Bills. There's 2 to 3 games a week. It gives you a lot to look forward to. And here's another point about why it would be really helpful if the Sabres are good, right? What's the schedule right now? This week, they play tonight. Kings, they play against the Panthers on Saturday.
Yep.
Then they play on Wednesday against the Penguins. And if the Bills play on Monday and something goes wrong and we're freaking out on Tuesday, it would be nice to have a distraction on Wednesday.
Yes,
you know,
it will.
Right? Every once in a while, it's nice to have one team lift you out of the abyss that the other team put you into. And, you know, the Sabres can just kind of supplement these occasional Bills losses. It'd be nice.
Yeah. Can I just get them to these? There's two easier opponents. At Columbus, at Chicago, right? That's next Thursday. It's a week from today and then next Saturday. Can I just get to those games not being 1-5, please?
You just want to feel...
I need any vibes, any belief, anything. I had someone text me on our Locked On Sabres. We have a text line. And he texted in, I hate to be hyperbolic, but if we lose tonight, the season is over.
Well,
come on, guys.
What?
But it is. People are going to feel that way. People are going to feel like if they go 0-3 tonight, start 0-3, that's it. It's all it takes for a lot of fans to go, yeah, this ain't the year.
I know. Somebody pointed out that Lindy, the year that they had a really good year in New Jersey and surprised everybody, started 0-2.
Okay.
It's the Lindy model. You're just saying you want to feel better about the Sabres than you do about the Bills wide receiver group. Is what you're saying. You just want to feel a little bit better about that.
Absolutely, because I think they're both kind of around the same level right now.
Well, when we get back, is there a fix on the way for the Bills wide receiver group? The latest on the sweepstakes for Devontae Adams, a writer who covers the Raiders, has reported who's still in and who's out. We'll get to that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He's still a Raider. He's never not been a Raider. He's still a Raider. When he's healthy and he can play, we'll play him. He's just not healthy right now. And he's getting closer, though. That's the good part. He's working every day to get that hamstrings right. He's in the right headspace mentally. Like I said, we talked recently and had a good conversation. He's ready to play football.
More on that in a moment.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
That's Antonio Pierce on Davante Adams. He's not healthy. When he is, he'll play. I guess the injury could be a big thing that's holding up this trade idea, right? Why trade for a guy that I don't know if he's healthy? I can't work him out. I don't know his timeline. Mm-hmm. Why would I pay a price if I don't know exactly what I'm getting? So maybe they will get him healthy. Because the Raiders, isn't that a bit of a tune change? Adams said he hadn't spoken to the coach. Here's the coach saying, we talked, we had a good conversation. When he's ready to play, he'll play.
Could this be the leverage
for sure
play that the Raiders are just trying to let teams know we don't have to trade him?
Yes. I think
they probably do.
I think that's built in there along with the actual injury, the hamstring injury itself. So Tashawn Reed of The Athletic, who covers the Raiders, has teams that are in and out on Davante Adams. Out, Chiefs.
Okay.
Out, Cowboys.
Really?
Yes.
That's a weird one. Cowboys need him, don't they? Cooks is on IR now. Jalen Tolbert's okay. Anyways.
In, Jets.
Yep.
Not surprising.
Not surprising. What about Washington? Are they in?
Not listed as in.
Really? Okay.
Nope. In, Steelers.
Okay.
In, Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens, out. I'm sorry, Commanders, out. There are four teams in. Jets, Saints, Steelers, and Bills.
Okay.
Tashawn Reed covers the Raiders for The Athletic. The Bills are still in. So, what's the question here? What's the right question on Davante Adams? Is it the Raiders and Bills get the salary cap to a spot they're both comfortable with? I know the Raiders never take salary. I just, without getting into the nuts and bolts of money,
yeah,
they reach an agreement on the money. What's the highest price you would pay for Davante Adams? Is it one of your second round picks? Is it a first? I mean, I wouldn't pay a first.
I wouldn't pay a first.
I wouldn't sink a first. I need to use that on a receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
So I can't use that here. Is it a second? Is it a third? A fourth? What's the highest price you'd pay if the Bills and Raiders got to a place where they felt good about the money and they were going to make that part of it work? And Adams was also motivated. Yes, that sounds great. I'll go play with Josh Allen. Let's go win a Super Bowl.
My instinct says third, but I feel like I could be talked into saying second because really how different should those really be?
Let me do this. How about a pick slide? The same thing they did with Rasul Douglas.
Okay.
Douglas, they traded a third and got Douglas in a fifth.
Right.
A pick slide means I get to keep my ammunition. It's kind of like trading down.
Okay. It would be trading down.
It's trading down. Okay. We'll give you a second for Adams and a sixth.
Okay.
Is that different? I mean,
Adams and a fourth or something, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like pick slides are a way to get around I'm not sure I'm losing quality of asset, but I still have the same number of picks.
Yeah.
It's one of the things the Bills did this year when they traded down with the Chiefs. They kept the same number of picks. They didn't add a pick or lose a pick. Kansas City, when they traded up, didn't lose a pick. It's just a pick slide. Maybe a pick slide is the right way to get this done, if in fact the Bills are motivated enough to get it done.
Yeah, I would. It's tough to even for me to think. All right, like no, like you got to upbid the Jets. The Jets are offering this, so it has to be a second straight up. It would be tough for me to say no because it just kind of feels like the obvious fix of the team. It feels like the team still honestly doesn't have that many glaring holes that are killing them week to week. Like, safety right now is worthy of this, but they've invested in safety. Like, Bishop was a second-round pick. Like, they're going to want to see that through, I think, at some point. Even if he makes a couple mistakes along the way, they're going to want him to play and develop, I think. And Rapp was out, so Rapp is back now. How many other glaring holes do you really have where it's, you put a guy in here that can do it, and I'm all good? And I feel like they are, it is kind of a final piece. Right now, they are like, you usually say this more about teams like Houston, right, that are on the up and come, where they are a good team that wins the division, young quarterback, like, oh, they're one piece away. Well, they go get Diggs. You often say that more about up-and-coming teams. I feel like right now you could kind of say it about the Bills, that they're kind of a final piece away. And I think this is kind of the fit for the final piece. It's not perfect, but it's so much better than what they have.
Well, Adams would do a couple things. Of course, he'd be arguably their best receiver, maybe not even inarguably.
Yeah.
But our conversation yesterday with Joe Marino, if you missed it at 7:30, we talked a lot about middle of the field closed, one high safety versus cover two shells. Like, teams play and they mix and match. But what these teams are doing to the Bills is they're playing middle of the field closed, where it's harder to get money made over the middle. Yeah. And that's where Shakir works, and that's where Kincaid works, and that's all well and good. You can still throw into it. It's tougher. You're taking what the defense gives you to some degree. What Adams would do, probably, is get defenses to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of this talk about, for the first couple weeks of the season, it's like, how do you get a team to come out of that cover two or whatever, whichever cover three, cover two, out of those shells? How do you do it? Well, you run into it. You run into it. The way to get teams out of the defense the Bills are playing is get somebody on the outside they're actually afraid of.
Right.
That's it.
Make them pick. Make them choose between, you can take away our middle of the field stuff.
But you're going to leave Devontae Adams one-on-one.
And he's going to kill you. Right now, there is no decision. What's the decision? We're worried about, right, the guys they have out there. Right now, your only decision is, can we live with a couple of Keon Coleman back shoulders? Right? That's your only decision. Yep. And right now, that's not a hard one. There's no, I don't think there's a, that's, that is why the Adams trade, you could maybe get me to even say, like, okay, I'd pay a second straight up. Because I think you have an easy decision right now if you're going to play the Bills. It's give them the outside. Dare them on the outside. You don't have much of a decision. If the Bills just plopped Devontae Adams on their team, I would fully expect the defenses are going to have a much tougher time figuring out how to defend them.
Be tough against the Jets this week. I mean, that's a team that DJ Reed right now is playing like one of the best corners in football.
Yeah.
And he's not Sauce Gardner, who's thought of quite a bit as one of the best corners of football, but he might not be having a great year.
No, PFF's coverage on the season, Reed's their number one corner on the season, and Gardner's like in the 50s.
Okay.
So a little bit lower than he normally is. Benford, now, by the way, is third.
For what it's worth, the Jets have not exactly played good quarterbacks yet. Josh Allen's the best quarterback.
That's true.
They played Purdy. Okay.
They played Purdy in week one, and they got lit up.
And then it's Will Levis and Jacoby Brissett.
And Bo Nix.
And
that's it, right? Darnold.
Yeah, they lost to
Darnold. They did do good against Darnold.
Yeah. So this is a tougher test, of course, the quarterback, but how about skill set or skill positions for all those other teams? The Titans, okay.
They're pretty good. They just don't have a quarterback and get
That's
it.
Right. The Broncos,
Just Cortland Sutton. That's it.
The Vikings, very good weapons.
Jefferson. But they had the first half, they had a tough time covering Jefferson.
Yeah.
Second half, when Reed went on to Jefferson instead of Gardner, is when they started having a better time.
And you're talking about Reed having success on Jefferson. He'll have no problem on anybody here, and I feel like Sauce Gardner on the other side. So
you can take the day off.
So get ready for, I mean, I would expect the Jets to do that, dare you to throw it outside the numbers and to blitz. They don't blitz yet. Now, one of the reasons the Jets might not blitz might be game plan specific. They've been getting pressure with four, and they've not been blitzing. So,
and they've been playing quarterbacks that take sacks.
Yes.
And Allen doesn't take sacks.
And now, I think the plan against Allen right now, not always, but right now, I think, is to speed up his clock. And whether it's simulated pressure, we saw the Dolphins do that a couple of years ago. You know, that's the game where the Bills had 500 yards. I mean, they got in his head a little bit, and he still, you know, rattled them. But thinking about the Jets and what they might do, I mean, if I'm a defense playing the Bills, I'm going to blitz a lot. All these teams are getting, every week pretty much, is going up in pressure, and he's pressured on half his dropbacks. And last week, on dropbacks under pressure, he was 1 of 14.
Ooh.
I'll take my chances if I'm a defense out there ready to get pressure on this guy. And if we come from enough angles, he can't get out.
Mm-hmm. Is any part, by the way, of the Adams talk for you stopping the Jets from getting him?
No.
None?
None. Really none.
Because to me, I don't... If they traded for him...
I really mean
I
none.
Would not be worried about them. I would respect their potential on offense more. But I also... There is a little appeal for me in that it feels like that's their only move on offense. How does their offense get better if they don't trade for Devontae Adams? I don't think there's an answer to that question. I think if they trade for Adams, like I'd expect it would maybe only marginally, but I think it would improve.
You're talking about the Jets.
The Jets.
How about the Bills? How does their offense get better without a trade like this?
Way better. Way better. Massive. I think.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're saying if they trade for him, how does it get better?
If the Bills trade for Devontae Adams, their offense is like it's a well-oiled machine.
There's more ceiling to grow into than there is for the Jets.
If the Jets trade for Devontae Adams, I still only expect it to get marginally better, but a little bit better.
For me, it's not at all about keeping him away from the Jets. For me, the entire conversation is, do the Bills want to do anything to try and rescue this situation, not only to win games, not only to try and improve their offense, but if you missed us with Sal earlier, to protect their quarterback. Right now is a bad ecosystem for Allen to have tons of pressure and nowhere to go with the ball on the outside. He is going to take more hits. He's going to run more. He's going to roll more. At some point, it's like bringing in a new left tackle because your left tackle got hurt. We got to make sure we don't get our quarterback killed. I think they need a receiver on the outside so they don't get their quarterback killed.
Mm.
So not at all about the Jets. It's about whether or not the Bills want to do anything about the situation that they're staring at. 803-0550, pick of the week, Scott Pianowski, three-way Thursday parlay for Thursday Night Football, Sabres home opener. Lots going on. You can join us at 803-0550. Joe's got trivia. We'll do that next.
Yes, do it next.
Trivia next as our pick of the week.
Caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR wins a pair of tickets to the Shorzy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center November 13th, where the cast of the TV show Shorzy will compete against Buffalo Sabres alumni. Tickets courtesy of AEG Presents. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
Pick of the week from Riverfront Auto Sales. It's brought to you by Riverfront. And their pick of the week is a 2013 Toyota Tundra four-wheel drive beast of a truck. The amenities you want, the hauling capacity you need. Great for your work truck and low miles. Check it out at riverfrontautosales.com. Call my friends Marty Sr., Marty Jr. at 886-1626. I drive a truck from Riverfront. Work truck, it's more of my dog's truck than anything. That's what I...
Your dog's truck.
People get in it and it's messy. I'm like, I'm sorry, this is my dog's truck.
Uh-huh.
He makes it a mess. I blame him.
Golf storage too, right?
It is, yes. Yeah, often golf.
Is the bag in the back the whole time? All summer?
In the cab, yeah.
Okay.
Bag's with me wherever I go. You never know.
Yeah.
So you've got trivia?
Want some trivia?
Oh, by the way, the pick of the week, Sabres. Go beat the Kings. Jack Quinn, score two. There you go. There's
Jack
my pick of the
Quinn
week.
Jack Quinn to score two. Well, that's good you get on that. Plus 900?
It's 330 for one. Okay. So maybe. Trivia.
Aaron Rodgers this week will become the sixth 40-plus-year-old quarterback to throw a pass against the Bills.
Sixth?
Since 2000. Okay. Since 2000 for you. Who are the five? Five quarterbacks 40-plus against the Bills.
Well, I feel good about this.
In the last 24 years.
I feel good about this. There are six. He's one of six. There's five.
He'll be the sixth. Yeah,
so five others.
Five others.
Ready?
Go.
Brady.
Number one with 245 attempts in seven games.
Favre,
one attempt. He went out in that game, obviously, very early against Motes.
That was his only attempt at that game?
I think that's his only attempt. That's all I got for him. 2010, started the game, 0 for 1, one pass attempt.
I didn't realize it was the first pass.
Yeah.
I've got two other names down that I feel good about, then I got to get the fifth name.
The interception, by the way. Favre threw an interception on that play. Yeah.
Vinny Testaverde,
26 attempts in one game against the Bills.
Warren Moon.
No on Warren Moon. Oh, that might have been earlier than 2000.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that earlier than 2000. Okay.
Also, he's not correct. The only two names you would add to the list before 2000 are George Blanda and Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say that.
I think Blanda played like 52.
I loved Blanda. Got a Blanda.
You loved Blanda?
Got a Blanda jersey.
Yeah, I had him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, that's right. Superflex.
1952.
Huge to have Blanda. all right. Two more post-2040 plus.
Yep. Do you want the teams?
Yeah.
So one quarterback just did it for two teams, Chargers and Patriots, and then the other quarterback did it for the Jets.
Chargers and Patriots?
Yeah. Chargers and Patriots. Only two of the attempts were with the Patriots. The rest were with the Chargers.
And who was the other one? What a team?
The other one was the Jets.
The Jets. 40-plus Jets.
You're not going to remember him as a Jet, though.
Okay.
You would remember him on a...
Joe Flacco.
Not Joe Flacco. No, he wasn't. He's still not 40, I don't think.
What?
He's close.
This man doesn't age.
This quarterback was more made famous for his time with an AFC South team. But he finished his career as a backup with the New York Jets, where he did attempt 13 passes against the Bills in 2011.
Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell is the answer. Yes. And then finally...
Chargers and Patriots guy?
And he's a former Bill. Former Bill attempted 13 passes against the Bills in his 40s.
With the Chargers and Patriots.
With the Chargers and Patriots. He went 4 of 13 for 71 yards.
And a high rate of... yards per completion.
Yep.
Man. Where'd he go to college?
I think this will probably give it away, I think. He went to college at the University of... No, not University. Boston College.
Boston College. That's not Matt Ryan.
Nope. No, I don't think Matt Ryan played for the Bills, Chargers.
Who's the other Boston College quarterback? I should know this?
I mean, I would say the moment of his life was probably at Boston College than it was with the Bills.
Flutie.
Doug Flutie.
Yeah, Flutie. Okay.
New England. You remember him on the Patriots?
I mean, sure. I do, but
in 2005?
He was with the Patriots before that, wasn't he?
He was with the Patriots in 88 and 89.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't.
And then again,
I don't,
in 2005.
I don't remember 2005.
Okay, sorry, right. I forgot he was on the Patriots in the 80s.
I do remember him on the Chargers because one of the drought-era losses was Flutie destroying the Bills' faces.
With the Chargers?
Maybe they went on a field goal late, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, there's like comic...
What is that game?
A comic loss to the Chargers in San Diego, I believe.
During the drought?
Yep. Rob Johnson, yeah.
27-24 in 2001.
That's the one.
Flutie went 254 yards and a touchdown.
There was like Flutie magic. Touchdowns. Flutie magic in the game. You know, everything he did was magic because he was, well, it was always magic. All right, Scott Pienowski, Yahoo Sports. We'll do some fantasy football chatter on the other side. Get you ready for Sabres Kings as well. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.